Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Bombers beat the Saskatchewan Rough Riders today in the West Final before a sold-out Mosaic Stadium. 20-13, we're taking your calls at 936-6262 in town. As the big boy said, toll-free out of town, 1-866-7-670-620. Mike McCullough's checking my sports select ticket. I did picked all NFL, got two wrong there, buddy.
Yeah, you're probably not going to win much on that one.
No, not going to win anything on that. I did pick the Bombers to win this game. I just felt that they had the momentum.
You?
Yeah, I just felt they had the momentum coming in. And you always know, like, you've played in a lot of these situations where you've got that momentum. They're coming off a big victory. I thought their Riders were a little, they had a little ring rust to start the game.
Like I said last week, I thought they had to survive the first 6 to 8 minutes. It seemed like they were a bit rusty and maybe a little too adrenaline-filled, but overall could have gone either way. It was a good game. It was like a classic game, just didn't kind of end in our favor. I thought the last 5 to 6 minutes was unbelievably exciting.
It was really good football, and I really think the Rough Riders were their own worst enemies. I mean, we're going to take a lot of calls tonight, but there were some interesting coaching decisions out there. For instance, they punt the ball at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
The Rider returner, Thigpen, doesn't go down right away, burns about 10 seconds off the clock. So if you're going to give up a single point, go down right away because you scrimmage on the 35.
Yeah.
Riders move it into excellent position to kick a field goal to get it to 11-7. They leave two timeouts in the bank. I know you can only get two for the game, right? But you got to use a timeout there. That's the second week in a row.
Talking about the end of the first half?
Yes, and that's the third time this year where they've done something like that.
Well, I think I was thinking, too, they should do that. But then if they kind of did a two and out, then it might give Winnipeg decent field position with a little bit of time left. That's the only thing I think they might
have been thinking. Yeah, but here's the thing. You got down to it was perfect. You got down to the 40-yard line. Had you used the timeout, you would kick the 47-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Those 3 points are big. And then the other one I don't understand. We've got a $200,000 running back in our backfield in William Powell. I know money means whatever. All I'm saying is you spent money to bring this guy in. He was averaging, what, like 7 yards a carry in the ball
game? He only had seven carries, which I don't understand.
So Bennett does a great job getting it down to the 1 yard line. Why do you go shotgun on second down? And why then the next drive when they get it down there, do you throw it on first down with Zach? Why don't you just run Powell? Pound Powell. What are we doing?
I don't know. It seems like McAdoo's wanting to use Powell as a decoy for weeks, but it's like, why? I mean, he's a stud. I don't get it. Like, this is the kind of game, the kind of weather you want your running back to.
Yeah.
He's a horse. I mean, he had, what, 7 carries for like 46 yards? Yeah, I think he had 2 or 3 catches for maybe 60-plus yards.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
There was no screen game there either. Like, when Winnipeg brought the blitz, I thought we'd see a little more of the Rider trademark screen game.
I mean, I just hate to, like, you know...
I know.
To armchair quarterback, because they could have won that game. And they
still could. That's a remarkable thing.
I just wish that we'd use Powell more, especially knowing that Fajardo was pretty banged up. You know, a couple less shots on Fajardo would have been nice and give it to Powell, because he, you know, a couple times he looked like he was getting going, you know? Like, he's starting to get hyped up, and I don't know. It seems like for the last 4 or 5 weeks... Powell just hasn't really been getting the touches, and I don't know why.
Let's head out in the Great Plains Realty Hotline. The show is brought to you by Special Blend by Weiser's, and let's talk to Donnie in Regina. Go ahead, Donnie.
Hey, Michael, how you doing, bud?
Good, Donnie. I'm doing well. How are you?
Do you got your crying towel beside you?
I don't need a crying towel.
Oh, I bet you don't.
He's dead inside. He doesn't need a towel.
I don't need a towel. I don't need a towel. Donnie, you, for 1 week, you're a Rider fan. The next week, you're a Bomber fan. So you're a Bomber fan this week, right?
Yes and no.
Okay. Why yes and no?
I got beaten up tonight. I got beaten up by a 7-year-old. My daughter got really, really mad at me at the football game.
And beat you up?
Yep. Kicking Why? Me in the shins.
Because she's cheering for the Riders and you're cheering for the Bombers?
Very good.
That's good, man.
And, so, Jeannie told me to tell Michael Ball to make sure for Christmas he gets a Bomber jersey.
No, that'll never happen. Donnie, is your team going to fluke one out next week and beat Hamilton?
What do you mean fluke one out? No, they're not going to fluke one out. They're going to play good.
Yeah, but are they going to win?
Winnipeg, yes.
They're going to beat Hamilton?
Yep.
God, I hope not. Thanks, Donnie. See ya.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, bud.
You'll talk to me later. Let's go to Jason in Regina. Go ahead, Jason. You're on the special blend by Weiser's Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
How you doing, boys?
Good, Jason. How are you?
Well, pretty disappointed, I got to be honest. You guys pretty much echoed everything I was going to say. I was going to talk about the play calling. I mean, we had the ball in the red zone today four times, came away with two field goals and no touchdowns. We ran eight plays inside the Winnipeg 10-yard line, gave it to Powell once in eight plays. There's just absolutely no excuse for that, and I'm sorry, even though our offense was pretty decent this year, I really think McAdoo has to go. We beat ourselves today, or our coaches beat ourselves today.
Can't disagree with almost anything you said there. I mean, McAdoo, I thought he had a great year, but today there were a few stinkers out there for sure. Hey, Jason, thanks for the call. Let's go to Eldon in Regina. Go ahead, Eldon, you're on the Great Plains Realty Hotline.
Oh, good evening, everybody.
Hey, Eldon.
Yeah, well, aside from the obvious, a big disappointment here.
Yep.
But I think just echoing what you guys are talking about, I think the Riders beat themselves tonight. They really did. Couldn't finish drive. Bottom line, didn't have the killer instinct and couldn't finish the drive. And that's exactly why we lost.
It's tough, but I mean, let's look at some positives here. I think we got a franchise quarterback for about 7-8 years here. That guy, I mean, he's got two torn oblique muscles. He's crushed at the end of the game. He threw for over emotionally, threw for over 300 yards, well over 300 yards, and he's signing autographs at the end of at the side of the rail. I mean, we got ourselves a franchise guy on and off the field. So if quarterback's the name of the game in this league, and we always say it is, Riders have a bright future for sure.
Well, absolutely, and coming on to next year here, being a Grey Cup here in town, we've got an excellent nucleus of people. I think the coaching staff only has to, tweak some things, and I think we might be in the market for a new place kicker, maybe. Depending, I'm not sure why Leffler missed all those field goals before, if it's a health issue or something or whatever. And then maybe another good running back and a good big playmaker.
All right, Elton, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening.
Am I mistaken? Didn't our kicker go 4-for-4 today?
Yeah, no, yeah. Okay. he didn't have as good a year as he did last year, but he also was battling a groin injury. Yeah.
Well, he had that one really bad game.
And he had a bad game at the end of the regular
season.
But
he was still like over 80%. Yeah, no, we need a new kicker. I think we're okay.
And I don't think we need no disrespect to Elton, but we don't need a running back because we didn't use the one we had.
Yeah. So he's fresh. Yeah. He's ready to go for next year.
Yeah, we could actually dress him and they'd be like, wow, we got a new guy.
Oh, my God, give him a new number. This guy's a beast.
This guy's unreal. No, so we're not.
I didn't know we could run in Canadian football.
Yeah, we're not gonna. No, we're not gonna do that. I mean, we have. I mean, it starts with the quarterback. I mean, what can you say about? You said it all year. That's the guy I want to run through a wall
Heck
with.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beast. He looked great today.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Like, yeah, we lost the game and some throws were a bit off, but I mean, the one to Powell, the one to Watson, the one to Kyron Moore, right on the two, like those were dimes.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, he had two torn obliques, so. Yeah, no, he's a keeper. We're good to go there. No one should put any blame on him or at his feet because he gutted a serious game out. I don't even know how he did it.
We got a great receiver in Shaq Evans. You know, will Naaman be back? He's getting a little long in the tooth.
How old is Naaman?
I think he's 30. Going to be 33 next
year. Oh, is he really?
He got 32, 33. Manny's probably not going to come back. He's a little bit old.
Charleston Hughes might not be back.
Charleston Hughes, who knows if Solomon will be back.
Yeah.
But on offense, I'm talking, you got Powell, you got Shaq Evans, and Jordan Williams-Lambert will be back with a full season under his belt.
Well, and Powell's, what, 31?
I think he's 31. Yeah. So he's right on 30, 31.
I hope they keep him.
I think he's 30.
There's no reason not to. He had a 1,000-yard season.
No. And
so average 5 yards a carry.
1,000 is a little bit disappointing for him because in 15 games, I mean, the guy should have about 1,400 yards,
but
right?
I mean, it's his per carry average. He's averaging 5 yards a carry.
Yeah,
and
no,
he only had
right.
204 carries or something like that. I don't know what it was, but it was nothing. So he's Yeah, he should be fresh for next year.
Yeah, he's got some.
That's good.
He's got some tread.
I think that's what McAdoo's saying. Like, I'm really focused on 2020. We're just going to keep Powell fresh.
Yeah, it is really mind-boggling, to be honest with you. Yeah, he is. I'm just checking right now.
I think he's 31, 32.
He's 31 years old. You're absolutely
turning
right.
Turning 32 next year, then.
You just now made me. Now I got William Powell, the actor, on my phone. Hold on a second.
What did we ever do before we had your phone? I just had to guess.
Well, we couldn't use yours.
No.
He's going to be 32 when the season starts.
Okay, so he'll be 32. That's okay. I mean. Yeah, still
we're surprised too. They didn't really use Andrew Harris that much today.
No, neither team seemed to want to run the ball, which is shocking. Because like you'd think we'd want to keep guys off Fajardo, and you'd think Winnipeg want to keep guys off Caleros for like headshots.
Boy, he took a nasty one from Cam Judge. Judge lit him up on one of those plays.
That one by Charleston Hughes, where he kind of got that 15-yarder.
Yeah, when he rolled into
that was a bit cheap. I heard him on the radio. He's like, "Yeah, I tried to avoid it." No, you didn't, Charleston. You tried to.
I didn't really see the replay. Did he really?
He had his back to him and like kind of did like a four-legged hop off his back into his knee. So you're not going to knock a guy down. You're just going to hurt a guy. So it was a bit chintz, and it should have been called, and it was.
Tell you, Winnipeg did what they wanted to do. They established what they were going to do. They were going to go deep early.
Yeah.
They did it, and they missed a couple of long ones, but they had some success. They had some success throwing it deep.
I thought both teams kind of had the same MO and basically were mirror images of each other. Like, neither team ran. Both teams took shots deep. Some they got some, they missed some, but that's pretty much was the game.
I couldn't believe, like, we're all talking, okay, the guy can't throw it 15 yards down the field. He'll probably only throw it 10 times in the game, 12 guys. He was throwing like 90%, 90% pass.
I know, he was throwing some beauty and a couple overthrows, but he was throwing well. But both, like I said, both teams seemed to have the exact same game plan, which is kind of weird. I don't know.
All right, let's go take a call. Luke in Saskatoon. Go ahead. You're on the Great Plains Realty Hotline, Luke.
Just a couple of things, gentlemen. Thanks for a great job. And I also want to say the price of the admission was worth it. It was worth it with the atmosphere. What an electric atmosphere. What a credit to the CFL. What a credit to the Rider organization. I have the privilege of taking my two young daughters to the game. They loved it. We cheered. We clapped. And in the end, unfortunately, we cried. And I'll just make a statement. My son calls the Super Bowl the Tom Brady Invitational. And Tom Brady's not the best team by any stretch. They're the smartest team. And if the Riders have nothing to do in the offseason, I would really encourage them to really play what I call smart football. Sometimes you can be so smart, you're stupid. First down from the 3-yard line. Hey, everybody's expecting a run. We're not going to do that. I don't know. I think you can outthink yourself, gentlemen, and that's what our coaches did tonight. God bless. We lost 3 points and another 3 points on 2 turnovers, and we lost a point. Like my mother-in-law with her cane could have gone down and covered that punt. She'd have got the credit for it because we literally gave them that point. So at the end of the day, great atmosphere, great game, but unfortunately we're not smart enough, and that smart enough stuff is what kills you at the end. Thanks, gentlemen, for a great job.
That's a great call, Luke, and a safe trip back to Saskatoon with your daughters. Yeah, I think if there's one thing for sure Craig Dickinson needs to do a better job of, and it's his first year, so we got to cut him some slack, I think, is game management in terms of maybe situations or him and his coaching staff. Maybe he needs to put his foot down a little more. And clock management. I mean, it's one thing to come on here in our postgame show and say, I made a mistake, but it's another thing to make the mistake again next week. Like, you can't keep making the same mistake, and you can't do it in games like this. Those little things really add up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, you got to remember it's his first game.
That's right.
And it's Fajardo's first ever playoff start.
Right. I mean,
you know, it's just, yeah, there's a lot of good things to build on. It just sucked because I think everybody's pretty optimistic about this game. But like you said, at the start of the year, if you thought we were in this chance or had this opportunity.
Oh, it's a great – I'm not going to be too mad because – I mean, I want to win, and listen, we only have 4 Grey Cups, and we get a Western Final every 10 years.
Well, I was looking at the, I was up in the alumni lounge looking at the plaque, and I saw the 4 Grey Cups, obviously, and I was reading the Western championships. There's 27.
Yeah.
And I'm like, 27, and we've only won 4.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
What the hell?
Yeah, I know. So, but here's my thing. So you don't want to poo-poo losing a game like this. But at the end of the day, if anybody was to sit here and say they think we'd be hosting the West Final in training camp, and now this season we found our quarterback. We found our quarterback.
I think we have a different mentality going into next year. Now we feel like, okay, now we've got something. And if we don't do well, that's really like, well, how the hell did we not do well?
Right.
This is disappointing. This, you know, being outside the team was not disappointing. I know the guys in the locker room and the management and the coaches are very disappointed because if you don't win, it's all for naught. But to be able to kind of take a step back, especially as a fan, and say that overall was a good year,
yeah.
I think that's what it was.
We'll take a break. You're listening to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable, brought to you by Special Blend by Weiser's. Our hotline brought to you by Great Plains Realty. Riders lose 20-13 here in the West Final to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Radio Network. It's the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable from the Harvard Studio 620 here at Mosaic Stadium. It's brought to you by Special Blend by Weiser's. Our hotline supplied by Great Plains Realty. Call Mike or Shelley, Jen Austin at Great Plains Realty. Buying or selling farmland and other properties, call 306-481-5574. Let's head out on the Great Plains Realty hotline. Say hi to Jeffrey and Regina. Go ahead, Jeff, you're on the show.
Hello, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Winnipeg didn't beat us. We beat ourselves. No offense in the first half. Unable to score from the red zone. I got a couple more. Why did we throw the ball right down the middle instead of to the side? Do you guys know?
Throw down the middle. Well, I don't know. It's all dictated on what the defense, how the defense is called.
Great catches by Kyron Moore, even though, especially the tip off the Winnipeg player on the 6-yard line. That was nice.
Yeah, I was lucky. But it was good.
Why
weren't
they running Powell, and why did they put in the third-string quarterback? Do you guys know?
All right, thanks for the call, man. Well, I don't know. Third-string guy is just...
I don't know. Why didn't they put Harker in?
I don't know, but, I mean, I think Bennett's just for his athleticism. He ran well down to the 1-yard line.
Yeah.
I just don't know why they went shotgun. We've already talked about that. In terms of passes down the middle, it's all predicated on how the defense is playing. But, I mean, there was a couple there where the receivers weren't even ready for the ball. Well, I mean, Manny Arsenault down to the goal line
that
there.
One, I think that was a climb route he was running because they were 4-by-1, and they had, I think it was Kyron Moore on the boundary side possibly, and I think they ran him shallow, so they're trying to get him over the top to Fajardo's right, and I think he just threw it too early. Moore was going hard, and six more steps, and he probably would have been wide open to the corner, corner towards the end zone. That's usually what you do in the 4-by-1 is have that climb route going through, and I think that's what Arsenal
was thinking. And I think some of the plays and some of the throws, you're looking at a young guy making his first start. He's overcoming a torn oblique, and, I mean, it's hard to critique him, but I think there's a couple balls, obviously, he'd love to have back.
Yeah, but I don't think it would necessarily change the outcome of the game. I thought, like, he did great. I mean, you wouldn't have known he was hurt. I thought it was a great game. He did what he had to do, and we just kind of stumbled in the goal line. And, you know, people are saying that we beat ourselves. Let's give Winnipeg some credit there. They're
a good team.
Seriously loaded.
We said they were a good team all along. They needed a Zach Collaros. We were saying Kevin Glenn. They needed a quarterback that could put them over the top.
Yeah.
Had they had Zach Collaros like that earlier in the season, they would have been in first place, and we would have been playing there for the first place
game.
Possibly, yeah. I really believe that because they were a really good football team.
I mean, their defense, like I said, we were mirror image of each other. There's one touchdown scored in the entire game. Both defenses would bend but not break, and they just came out the other end of it.
You know what's going to be interesting? So Zach Collaros goes into Calgary against his old team, the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Yeah.
It's going to be his fourth game of the season, which is remarkable. He could win the Grey Cup and end the longest drought in CFL history for Grey Cups. And does he become their quarterback in the future?
I don't think so.
Matt Nichols is a free agent. Chris Streveler is a free agent. Mike O'Shea is a free agent. Kyle Walters is a free agent. So does Zach Collaros become the face of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
I feel like he's on borrowed time right now. So I don't know if he can. And then, like, do you even go with Nichols has been hurt a lot lately? Or do you go after Masoli? Or what do you do? Arbuckle in Calgary? I don't know. It's, you know what, though? Great move on their organization, but getting Collaros, that changed it for them.
That was the difference.
Without them, they're not even here, right? So
we were saying that with Tamman for like a whole month. You got to get a quarterback because you're not winning with Streveler. And let's be honest, they didn't win with Streveler. They won with Collaros. That's why they won this game.
And, I mean, anyone who says, you know, we shouldn't have gotten rid of him, yes, we should have. I think getting rid of him is what opened up the door.
We got the better guy.
Yeah, you know, and people, I don't know if I haven't heard anybody say it, but everybody's like, well, you know, if we had him, we would have. No, because if you didn't get rid of him, Fajardo can't really kind of be the leader he needed to be.
Did you notice he had a few things to say to the Riders after he threw that touchdown? He made sure he talked to everyone down the field. Charleston and Derek Moncrief.
Probably because they were talking. I'm guessing they were talking a ton to him.
Yeah, for sure.
A ton.
Yeah. Okay, let's head back on the phone line. Great Plains Realty Hotline. Corey on his way home to Weyburn. Go ahead, Corey.
How are you doing there, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Well, are you thirsty?
Yeah, I'm feeling thirsty. I bet our friend a lunch and a couple of whiskeys that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers would win the game.
I've yet to welch on a bet, my friend,
but I will tell you what, this game went different than I thought. I thought it would be because Cody either wouldn't play or wouldn't play effectively. That wasn't the case. The Riders just couldn't finish.
You got to be happy. Wow. Hey, everybody's disappointed going home. But after game one, you and me had a phone call. I called Fajardo noodle arm, for God's sake. But he looked like a noodle arm that night. But he certainly proved me and 30,000 other people wrong.
Well, you've been a season ticket holder for how long, Corey?
Since 2004.
Since 2004. And, you know, we had Darian Durant with Mike.
I've been counting the games since forever.
Yeah, but we've had Darian Durant with Mike McCullough, and that would probably be the first real third stringer that we've brought along. We didn't really bring him along. He was brought along in Toronto and BC. But a first real third stringer or backup that we can call our own, and now we have a franchise quarterback. So as a season ticket holder going into a Grey Cup hosting year next year, that's got to make you happy.
My seats are bought and paid for already, so absolutely.
Yeah. What did you think of the...
I wanted to talk about a couple things. It seemed like a serious lack of communication problem between our coaching and our quarterback again today. Maybe you guys touched on this. I don't know. I missed the beginning of the show. But going into the half, couldn't have Cody called that timeout?
Well, Dickey said timeouts are like gold, and you only get two timeouts in the game. You don't get like the NFL, you get three timeouts a half. In the CFL, you get two timeouts for the entire game, and you can't use a timeout in the last, I don't know, can you use a timeout in the last 3 minutes? You can't use a timeout in the last 3 minutes of the second half.
What?
Well, I'm sure.
I forget the rule. I got to figure this out.
No, you can use
the
timeout.
There's a stipulation there on the timeout. I got to figure this out. But the two timeouts only last for the entire game. And Dickey said, I want to treat them like gold. So they were trying to do a hurry-up offense. But the thing is.
But you can't keep two of them to the last 2 minutes.
That's right. That's right.
Like, points are at such a premium today. Like, that was a 3-point swing.
Well, it was. And the thing is if you're going to give the single point up in the end zone on the Medlock punt, then you got to tell Thigpen to get on the ball right away and take a knee, because he ate the clock, and then you happen to move it down, and then you leave two bullets in the gun, and you don't have time to kick a field goal.
Yeah, I guess what made me think about the lack of communication was the time count violation too.
Our guys were
just wandering around looking like they didn't know what to do.
So teams are allowed two timeouts per game and can only use one timeout in the last 3 minutes of the game. So that's what it is. But either way, like I was saying with Dickey, and Mike made a good point. Like, we're talking about a quarterback that's playing in his first playoff game, which happens to be a Western Final, which only comes around every decade. And we're talking about a guy coaching in his first year and in a pressure-packed moment. So we have to give him a bit of a break. But when you come on our show last 2 weeks ago and say, hey, I made that mistake, I'll be better in the future, and you make the same mistake 2 weeks later, I mean, that's got to be addressed in the offseason.
For all the marbles this time.
Yeah, that's got to be addressed, too.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, right near the end there with a minute left or 30 seconds, whatever it was, Marshall was hobbling around. Like, if they would have went deep on him, that would have been pathetic. And Buka came in to replace him, and he waves him off.
Yeah,
How selfish can you possibly be?
That's a good point, Corey. Hey, hang on the phone, man. We got a gift card from Ballers for you for our cage caller of the night, okay? Safe trip home. Yeah, that's brought to you by Ballers Rec Room, Regina's premier entertainment destination, batting cages, video games, full menu, and fully licensed, 2044 Duty Avenue, ballersrecroom.com. Two injuries in the game. So, Naaman Roosevelt in the, I believe it was the second quarter, towards the end, he makes a catch, about a 17-yard catch down the middle, and he gets whacked.
Yeah.
And he's holding his left arm, and he makes two more catches on the drive. It was unbelievable. Crazy. Like, the guy's a warrior.
I thought he landed on the ball. I didn't know it was his arm.
Anyway, it was his arm. So then they're down there, and it was the play where they stopped to see if Cody had crossed the line when he was throwing the ball.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was an athletic play. It was great. It was right on the line. Yeah. Super tough. I never know how those quarterbacks could see that, too.
I don't know.
How do they know?
I feel like they see the digital line we see.
Did they see the digital line? Because how do they know to throw the ball?
I don't know. I know, like, it's. I know that you got the sticks on the one side, and the other side you just have, like, a little
but
peg.
But it's a sixth sense.
I don't get it.
You have a Mike McCullough chasing you, and you're like, okay, I got to throw
the
ball.
Well, you have all day then.
But anyway, so it was on that play, and so they bring him out some pills. He won't come on. Like,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they want to bring him off the field, and he says, no, I'm staying on for the drive. So he waves him off, and they bring out some pills. They literally handed him some pills, and he swallows them. Like, does Advil work that fast? Because I need some of that. whatever they got there.
I don't know. I didn't see that
part. Because they dropped one on the ground. He picked it up, and he swallows it.
What?
Yeah, anyway, so he doesn't come out, and he's tough as nails. But Nick Marshall waves off Buka. Is that selfish or what?
No, like, I mean,
did you wave guys off?
I was probably the one getting waved off. I mean, you don't want to come out. I mean, unless you know, like, if it's something you think, okay.
But he was hobbled bad out there. Like, Winnipeg should have attacked him. He could barely stand up.
But then you think, oh, maybe he's just playing possum. Who knows? I don't know. Like, I get it. You don't want to come out. It's big. You don't want to be that guy who comes out when the game's on the line.
Yeah.
If you got thrown on and torched because of it, then you'd have to say, like, dude, what are you doing? But, whatever. No, I don't see it as a bad thing.
Let me ask you this, and you could shoot me down. But so they stop us. They're down at the 2-yard line after they stopped us. They're backed up, right? The next play, they go deep to Darvin Adams. Indeed, when you're in a defense.
Was that the end of the game, you mean?
No. They were backed up to their 2 and they went deep.
Yes.
It was after Ryan unleashed that big 63-yard kick, okay?
Yeah.
And they got the blocking fraction. Now at the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
And then they throw the bomb to Darvin Adams.
Yep.
As a defense, what are you doing there? Like, you're like, are they going to – because how do you get beat deep that when they're backed in
I think you're probably playing – they're probably crowding the box and going to run, and you got a man-on-man situation.
And you get caught looking in the backfield, maybe?
Yeah, and Darvin Adams is a physical receiver, so –
because he was behind him.
Even if you expect it, you're going to get beat sometimes, And Darvin's a big guy, so he just beat him off the line.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get beat.
Yeah, because Nick gets caught a lot of times looking in the backfield.
Oh, for sure, and they know that. Yeah. That's what they're probably doing.
Yeah.
So they're going to put Darvin out there knowing that he's a big physical guy who can run, and Nick's probably looking inside.
I was wondering as I'm watching that game, where were those deep passes when Kolaros was here? Because he was throwing some dimes.
He was.
He was throwing some nice deep. That was the 2015 Zach Kolaros throwing the ball. He was jacked up.
That O-line, his uniform was pretty clean at the end of this game.
Like, they have good lines.
He did not. I mean, we did not get much pressure on him, and I think that was the name of the game for them, was say, whatever you do, like, you protect Kolaros like he's your wife. Like, do not let anybody near him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did a great job. Like I said, people are saying, oh, Dickey and this. They just beat us, man. They're a good team. We almost had it at the end to tie it up. They beat us. That's it. Like, there's no, well, should've done there. They beat us.
Yeah.
That happens. Great teams. It'd be different if they were
a
7-11 team that came in here and throttled us. No, like, they beat us. They were good.
And they are a good team.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chris in Milton, Ontario on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Chris, are you there? Chris isn't there. Let's move on to Danny in Regina. Danny, go ahead. You're on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
First of all, I'd like to say I'm very happy because I'm a diehard Winnipeg fan. So it's nice to see him win and finally get to the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
And yes, Saskatchewan made some really horrible decisions. But the thing I noticed throughout the whole game, did you notice the focus that Winnipeg had in comparison to the Riders? Winnipeg would make their plays, go back to the huddle, and be focused on the next play. Saskatchewan would make a big play, and they'd be bouncing around or showboating or doing something and not really being focused on what's going to happen next. And I think the focus part of the game is a really big part, and that affected the Riders.
Well, focus is a big part, Danny, but you got to understand something. Winnipeg didn't have a crowd to play to. The Riders are playing to the crowd. They're trying to get the crowd into it, be that extra man. So that had something to do with it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like Winnipeg, what is Winnipeg going to do? Yes, when they make a play, they're going to tell the crowd to be quiet. But for the most part, they're just going to go back to the huddle. You don't want to poke the bear. If you're the Riders and you make a big play, you want the crowd to get behind you. You're going to dance around. These are 20-something-year-old macho guys. They're going to do what they do. That's every team does that. Winnipeg could be doing that if it was at IG Field. Like, the same thing. You know what I mean? I don't think that had anything to do with it. I thought the Riders were focused. I thought what Mike McCullough said, they came out revved up, but maybe the adrenaline got the best of them early. And also, they were a little rusty. They looked rusty. They didn't look their regular composed self coming off a bye. This is the first time they've lost the game coming out of a bye in 6 games, going back to 2017. So they're a good team off the bye. Winnipeg, though, I mean, Winnipeg did what Mike McCullough's Riders used to do. They go in, they smack around a team in the semifinal. They're all revved to go, and they come in and they got momentum. That's like a snowball going downhill. It's tough to stop.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Danny, good luck. Do you think your team's going to win the Grey Cup?
It's going to be close, I think, but you never know.
I hate to say this, I'm going to puke in my mouth, but I'm going to cheer for Winnipeg just for Zach Kolaros.
I feel like I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want Zach Kolaros to win.
But I don't dislike him. I don't like Brandon Banks, but I, like, Dane Evans and those guys. Of course, I don't like Simone Lawrence either. No. So, yeah, I think
I like Orlando. He looks like he's a pretty decent coach.
I think
coach.
He's a pretty good coach.
Yeah,
I think
Dane Evans has been a revelation.
Dane Evans has been good. But then you see, like, the receivers, like the Addison and Tasker. But yeah. Like Banks is phenomenal. But he's a suck.
Can't stand him, yeah.
I hope that Winnipeg makes Banks cry like they did in 14.
that's why I don't like Banks.
You remind me of that. I saw him huffing and puffing again.
For that exact reason. Hey, Danny, thanks for the call, man.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate that. Let's go to Cam in Vancouver Island on the Great Plains Realty Hotline here on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable brought to you by Special Blend by Weiser's. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Cam.
Thanks for a great year. I want to thank you guys for all the work you do after. Mike, I know, too, you come in there voluntarily, or not voluntarily, but it's not a full-time career for you. So I want to thank you for all the insight you provide all year as well.
I like this call.
Yeah, that's right. He's loving it. What do you got there, Cam?
A few things, and I have a CIS question to ask you guys at the very end, if it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead, yep.
So, to me, we needed a couple of playmakers to step up when we were down kind of that 10 and down 7. You know, when we were down 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, 3 minutes left in the game, we needed a couple of playmakers. We had those two really nice special teams runs, two return runs. They were good. We had that really nice ball thrown down to about the 3 or 4 yard line near the end. Who was that that caught that ball right near the end there? Right,
Kyron Moore on the tip drill.
Yeah, just gorgeous. So, I mean, we kind of got the two big plays, but we weren't really there. We just didn't have the playmaker step up. And, you know, the thing is with this particular coaching staff, I mean, Mike O'Shea, I told you guys before the Calgary game, I said I thought Winnipeg was going to beat Calgary Balls. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And, like, Mike O'Shea is an elite football coach. He really is. And that's an elite group that he's put together over there. So I would just say that the biggest difference in this one is that Dickey is a young coach and Fajardo is a young quarterback. And really, it just came down to one simple fact. I mean, it was the old war horse against the young buck. And you know, Dickey's going to be great. I keep that staff together. I do everything I can to keep it together because all the makings are there. But it was one of those things where everything would have had to have been perfect for us to beat that team.
Yeah, I mean, as bad as the Riders played at times with their decisions, they could have won this game. They were down 3 times in the score zone and didn't score touchdowns. So they probably should have won the game. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. And then we're talking about Dickey being a great coach and Mike O'Shea probably coaching the Argos next year. That's what we're talking about. That's serious. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I've been told that I've got the CIS question after this. I've been told to look for massive changes in BC.
Oh, well, that already started. I mean, the whole coaching staff will be blown out.
I've heard O'Shea's name mentioned in D.C., actually.
O'Shea's going to go to Toronto if he's going anywhere. Cause him and
O'Shea didn't even want to play at West. I don't see him going to coach
O'Shea,
at West.
O'Shea's an Ontario guy. He loves Mike Pinball Clemens. They're great buddies. I'd say Mike O'Shea is the coach of the Toronto Argonauts next year, unless they win the Grey Cup. And then who knows?
He might stay.
Winnipeg would be crazy to let him go.
I could honestly see Mike O'Shea win a Grey Cup and go to Toronto and Paul Lapalisse coach the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Because Paul Lapalisse's wife is from Winnipeg, and I could see that happening. I really could. And I could see Jason Moss will be fired, probably already has been fired and hasn't been announced yet. And Rick Campbell's the head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos because Hugh Campbell's. And then I don't know who the heck's going to BC.
Jason Moss. Ed Hervey's there.
Yeah, Jason Moss could be there. That's right. Jason Moss, Ed Hervey, Mike Riley. Yeah. For sure.
CIS question?
Yep.
We've all got a vested interest in it. You, this year, Ballsy, with your guy going to the next level, and congratulations on that Calgary, I heard.
Yeah. That's all. It's Calgary. Yeah, he's going to Calgary, yeah.
Was he going to do, like, a press conference where he puts the hat on? And
No. Yeah, he's going to be signing in December, yeah.
Nothing stateside or not sure yet?
I'm not talking about it. I can't say anything.
Okay, sorry. Just want to tell you, I talked to all those guys. I've heard he's just absolutely acceptable.
Who are you hearing? Who are you talking to? You got all this information on CFL, CIS.
Well, he's got some talent. Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah.
Just like a chip off the old block, Ballsy?
No, I'm a very small chip off of his block. Anyways, what do you got there, Cam?
Okay, here's what I want to ask this question because there's such a disparity between the top 4 teams in Canada and the rest of the 22 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of this? have a committee, because you have your rank system anyway, so you have to have some, there has to be some credence to it to begin with. Why don't they go with a final four at the end of the year and have a final four play down? So this, you know, year after year, it's going to be Montreal, Laval, Calgary, Western. The odd team, Guelph now, might sneak into those kinds of teams. But, you know, generally speaking, you're going to have your core four every year.
Yeah.
And then why don't they go 5-8 in a Maritime Bowl and a Pacific Bowl or something like that? So you've got, now you've got, you know, eight teams that get into the playoffs. You don't have 5-8 getting embarrassed or you know, at least one of those teams getting embarrassed. You've got four teams now that are going into the Final Four. You've got the intrigue of that. So you're not shorting anyone of the experience of playing in something, but you're just bringing some parity in 5-8. So you now have three meaningful football games, or actually you have five meaningful football games to end the year. What, I'm going to let you guys go. What do you guys think of that idea, if you have a chance to discuss it?
Well, I want to ask, we were talking about this off the air. It's not a bad idea. Cam, I'd have to give more thought to it, and I've been up for all day, and I'm really not, my brain's fried. But I will say this, it's you played down in the Atlantic Canada, St. FX. Like, we heard how great Acadia was, and I said, I'll be surprised if they get within three touchdowns, and they got destroyed 38-0.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever plays that Atlanta Canada team most of the time has a free pass to the Vanier Cup. That's generally what it is.
Yeah, when I was playing, we had the best team in the country for a couple of years with St. Mary's, and they've kind of fallen back as well.
Like, what is it out there? Do they spend all their money in hockey? And
I think it's money, yeah. I mean, the programs at West especially have a ton of money. Montreal, Laval, ton of money. That's where you see the difference,
and
right?
And those are really, especially Laval's almost like a privately funded school.
Yeah, and even you have, I mean, and the Quebec takes their football very seriously.
Yeah.
So they it's just money. I think the out east is just, it's hard to get guys to go out there, and they don't have the money to get guys out there. Or I know a lot of facilities have just been upgraded about 5, 6, 8 years after a lot of the other facilities around the country. But I think it just comes down to dollars and cents.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how we do it. I know what this guy's saying. It's almost like you need a kind of, you know, like North Dakota State, those schools.
They get Division II.
They have the Division II of Division I. Like, it's Division I, a second tier, where they play their own bowl, but then, like, they're the FBS, but they're not the
FCS. The
only
problem is, though, then you're still going to have trouble recruiting. You don't want to get kids like, hey, come to our school. We're never going to be the best, but we're going to be the best of the rest, you know? And if you already have trouble getting kids, you're not going to get the kids, right?
Yeah.
And once in a while, like, a team will come out of the way.
But let's be honest. Canadian university football is... The universities don't take it seriously. Like, let's be honest. They take it seriously in terms of the coaching and the training. That's not what I'm saying. But it's not like you can't compare it to American football.
Yeah, they don't live
close.
And breathe it, yeah.
Like, my kid went down to North Dakota to do a camp, okay? And UND, we're Dressler.
We heard how great your kid is, yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
We're Dressler and Schultz went, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
They've got an outdoor football field. They've got an indoor football field, like in a field house, like an actual football field. And then they got a dome stadium for a city of 57,000 people. Like,
but do they have a curling team?
No, they don't. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't compare.
No, you're not comparing.
You can't compare.
I'm just saying,
like, there's only so much money. It's not like you get so much for scholarships and that's it. Like a
but it's also media money, right? Yeah, like the school, schools down there get money from NBC or CBS or whatever.
Right.
And here, like, I think I was looking for the highlights last night, and they showed it, I think.
I watched
the 11 o'clock edition at 11:58. They quickly ran through two plays from each game.
Which is brutal. Like,
it is.
Like,
brutal.
It is brutal. We had Ambrosia on here. They're working diligently to team the Vanier Cup up again.
Why is it so hard? Why does it have to be done? It's not hard.
Just get it done.
Nobody's doing anything. Like,
just get it done.
Just couple it together.
So CBC is stepping forward to do the Vanier Cup next week, which is great, but we need to have coverage like this.
Yeah.
We're sending all our revenue, and we're worried so much about Mexico and Germany and Sweden and find the next great Finnish football player.
Who's the first grade? There is no first grade.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I saw the Mexican mannequin that we have on our football team here, that
Barista?
Barista?
Yeah.
I don't think he's washed his jersey all year. He wore the same jersey.
I don't think so.
Like, what are we doing here? Like,
I don't know. I think Ambrosi's got to take the bull by the horns here. And
let's concentrate on Canada.
Yeah.
Let's get Canadian football.
Couple it together. Like, have the playoff coincide so the West final and all these finals are with the UTEC Bowl. So, like, we could, do something along those lines. And you know what? If you're playing here, have the UTEC Bowl here on Saturday. Why are, I don't know.
Okay, and that's cool. Why are our playoff games on a Sunday afternoon? Why do we still repeatedly go after against the NFL?
I was thinking that too, but then they want a full weekend of revenue through hotels and stuff, right?
I guess.
If people come in the game Saturday, they're going to stay Friday, possibly leave Saturday. Yeah. Who knows? So I kind of understand that, but if they could work something out, it would be nice to
have
Saturday.
But you're right. I think we need to mesh the two. Get it. I mean, they had it in 2011. The greatest Vanier Cup ever was Laval McMaster. With Spencer
Moore. That was 2012,
Moore.
Wasn't it?
2011, Spencer Moore.
2011?
And it went to, like, triple overtime at BC Place. And then 2012,
right,
they had it.
Yes,
they had that was the last time the Vanier Cup was with the with the Grey Cup.
They gotta have the seasons kind of be, you know, coincide with each other. And
well, they do coincide. They do coincide.
No, but they have kind of, like, the East starts a little earlier, and it's all kind of wonky. Yeah. And the bowl games are this weekend. But you know what? Like I said, if instead of going to McMaster stuff, have them fly to a neutral, like, the West, wherever the East and West final being played, throw it there.
I agree. 100%. And then just sell the tickets.
Yeah, I think people
show up. You get a 2-for-1 for your ticket or a split in the revenue.
Yeah, it's like
for
crazy.
For next year right here, the Vanier Cup should be played right here on Saturday.
That'd
Grey
be sweet.
Cup on
That'd be good.
Sunday, and the Huskies have a pretty good team. Maybe they'll be in the mix. You never know.
Maybe U of R.
Maybe the U of R. Who knows? You never know. Dwayne and Carrot River, go ahead. You're on the Great Plains Realty hotline here.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Dwayne.
Well, for the first time in a long time, I was really pleased with our players. We had a defense that was doing an admirable job, and our special teams was doing what we asked them to do, and we had a wounded warrior for a quarterback, and he was doing the job. Where we lost this game, when I look over what I've written down here, is after three quarters of play, we'd scored 7 points, and we hadn't scored a major. They weren't ready for that game, and I keep saying that, and they just came out there and kind of were busy introducing themselves, I guess, during the first quarter, and on it went. You can't score only 7 points and no major in a Western final against a team like Winnipeg and hope to win that game. Anywhere along that first almost three quarters of the game, if we'd have scored one touchdown and acted like we wanted to score one touchdown, then we throw in a few bad calls by the coaches and those sort of things happen, that's what's disappointing for me tonight. We could have won that game.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that. It was a case where some boneheaded coaching decisions and other things lined up against the Riders. And like Mike said, Bombers are a pretty good football team too. You got to give them a bit of credit.
Yeah, well, we've certainly got ourselves a good quarterback, and I think we've got a pretty reasonable team. But we can't make those kind of mistakes. We can make them along during the year, and maybe it doesn't cost us too much. But when you can't even keep track of the clock in a critical program, my goodness, that's just inexcusable. You want to go and hide your head somewhere.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
that not having them ready to go, I mean, with a week off, thank goodness for our quarterback, he had some time to rest up. But they should have walked out on that field and said, this is our town, and we're going to score 7 points here in the first 5 minutes, and we're going to be up 14 or 21 points by the end of the halftime, and we couldn't find a point for love nor money.
Yeah, well, Dwayne, I respectfully will kind of play the devil's advocate here, and Mike could jump in. You just, like, Winnipeg is on a roll, and talk about playing in a Western semifinal when you go and you beat a team that you don't usually beat, and you come into the, you're riding a wave of momentum to start that
game.
Oh,
yeah, your confidence is at an all-time high. Like, hey, they came in here raring to go. They beat Calgary in Calgary.
Yeah.
But our defense kept them down to a reasonable score. We should be able to beat a team that
Yeah, but so their defense kept
points.
Our – both defenses – is a defensive battle. Both defenses played
wonderful.
Great. And we could have won that game a couple times. So, like I said, it'd be different if they came in here and smashed us 30-3. But they didn't. We still had a chance to win that game. So
Dwayne, you're right. The coaching, a couple of decisions cost us. I totally agree with you there. But I don't think it was a case of the team not being ready to go. I think when you're on a bye week, you're coming off. There is a bit of ring rust. You got to get your feet under you. There's the whole crowd. The crowd's behind you. You're trying to calm your nerves or at least manage your nerves. And Riders were guilty of that early on. But they hung in. The defense hung in there. And it was as bad as we think they played in certain situations, the Riders probably still should have won that game by a touchdown or so, but they just couldn't make the plays when they had to.
Well, maybe not ready to go, but also not hungry enough.
Yeah.
That's your chance to win and get into the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
And my goodness, I think that you have to be on that scoreboard more than they were.
I saw a lot of guys crying when they're walking off the field, grown men crying. So I think they were hungry. I just think, you know what? It's football. They put on their helmets. You put on their helmets. They won the game because they deserve to win. That's just the bottom line. Thanks for the call, Dwayne. Appreciate it. I mean, that's really at the end of the day.
That's how I look at it.
But I got a 300-pound lineman crying.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that Dan Clark, who almost died in a car accident to start this year, is an all-star, and he's coming off inconsolable.
Yeah, no,
he was hungry.
Like, it had nothing to do with not wanting it. Like I said, Winnipeg made a couple plays the Riders couldn't. Didn't mean they didn't want it more.
Do you think Cody wanted it? He played with two torn oblique muscles.
Yeah, no, that's the thing I don't like about the whole Monday morning quarterback thing.
Yeah.
Like, Winnipeg's a good team. Winnipeg is a good team. They came in and they beat us. That's it. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Like, you can dissect any game. Even if we won 30-3, you could dissect and say, oh, that play should have been this, and that. Like, they beat us by a touchdown. We could have won. We hit a goalpost. I call it the twang game as the ball hit the goalpost.
Yeah.
And I think it was Kyren Moore who's going to his wide open. Doesn't hit the goalpost. We're going into overtime. And it can happen.
And I got a bunch of tweets telling me that we should move the goalpost to the back of the end zone. Why do we have it in the front?
Put it in the back. My youngest son goes, Dad, they hit the thing that you kicked the ball between. I'm like, yeah. Well, why didn't they just catch it for the touchdown? I'm like, it's considered dead. Well, that's stupid. It's like, oh, you're right. It is stupid. They shouldn't be able to catch it.
When we come back, we'll get to Landon, Jonathan, Ted, and you. 936-6262 in town. Toll free out of town. 1-866-767-0620. This is the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable brought to you by Special Blend by Weiser's on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Riders lose 20-13 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Hamilton 35-16 over Edmonton. Tiger Cats and Bombers beating Calgary in the 107th Grey Cup. And we're taking your calls here on the Special Blend by Weiser's Sports Cage Radio Roundtable, our hotline brought to you by Great Plains Realty. Let's head to Jonathan on his way back to Saskatoon. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, go.
Hey, man. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the first thing I want to say is the pressure on Claros was very weak tonight, and I thought at least make him scared that he's going to get hit. I don't really want to hit him, but at least make him scared he's going to get hit. There was zero pressure on Claros tonight.
Well, I mean, Winnipeg's line had something to do with that. They did a great job. And when the Riders did bring heat, he made them pay by completing a couple of those balls, which you got to do.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. But it didn't seem like there was much blitzing going on at all, even around the corner.
Yeah,
I don't think there was. Yeah, it didn't seem like it.
And the other thing was, I know that guys are saying McAdoo did a good job this year, but I've been watching a couple of years. I'm a season ticket holder, and it's been very bland the way that he presents his offense, and it's very predictable. And even like with Bridge last year was run, run, punt. And this year, same prediction. I think that Cody did very well in spite of McAdoo, not because of McAdoo. And I even when Cody was on the 1 yard line, and he did the runoff to get in, he could predict that he was going to do that. And Winnipeg predicted that. And I thought that there could have been ways of getting some playmakers, getting Moore, getting Thigpen, getting Powell some more running plays to take the heat off Fajardo, who seemed definitely injured still. You could see that he was injured when he was trying to run. So yeah. I think that needs to be worked out. I think that needs to be some shakeup, and McAdoo needs to maybe need to do an offensive coordinator next year. That would be my thought.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan, for the call. Safe trip back to Saskatoon. We appreciate you listening. Appreciate you being a season ticket holder. I don't know. Guy starting quarterback goes out three plays in. Guy has a career third down specialist come in as his quarterback. I think Stephen McAdoo did a pretty good job this year. Could you always question? Hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gone shotgun from the 1 yard line. I wouldn't have thrown it on first down with Zach Claros. I would have used my tailback. But I mean, I wouldn't. I don't think because we lose here, we're firing. Stephen McAdoo is the most. I've never seen a coach be run out of town more than Stephen McAdoo. Honestly.
Oh, George Cortez was
and he was a great offensive mind. At times.
It just seems your quarterback's up for the most outstanding player. Like he's the coach. I think it's the coach that did a decent job. I got no issues with it. It's just some of the play calls. But you can question play calls when we crush another team and win games. But overall, I think, like I said, I just keep coming back to Winnipeg. They're better. Just played a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Plain and simple. Ted in Calgary, go ahead. Ted, you're on the Great Plains Realty Hotline.
Hey, guys, that was a great, great game today. I don't mind them playing it on Sunday. My guess is probably almost 2 million people probably watched that game.
Yeah.
I'm going to just make a couple points. I think we should give Jason Shivers a lot of credit. He stopped Strebler. Winnipeg's a great team, but he stopped Strebler and Harris to nothing. I think they got like 50 yards rushing. So, other than a few deep balls, I think he called a great, great game for the defense.
Yeah, he did. I thought it was a pretty good game. They got beat deep a couple of times. The touchdown, the guy got behind Purifoy. I thought that wasn't schematics. That was just Purifoy getting beat one-on-one. Nick Marshall got burned like he always gets burned looking into the backfield, but he redeemed himself a little later on. Dembski took Mike Edom to task one time there. But other than that, the defense was pretty good. There was the fumble by Powell early. They held him to a field goal. They held Medlock kicked four field goals. Winnipeg, it took Winnipeg till midway through the first third quarter to make their first red zone trip of the playoffs. So they didn't even get into the red zone. Like, they didn't get in the red zone last week when they played Calgary.
Jeez.
A lot of big plays. And then it took them till 5 minutes to go in the third quarter before they got into the red zone here. So, yeah, you're right. Shivers, I thought, does deserve some credit.
You bet. And on the other end, the last Western final I was at in Regina was in 1976 when the Riders beat the Eskimos. But you know how they got there? They got there because in the last game of that year, on the last play of that game, Lancaster threw a 3-yard down and out, high percentage play to Rhett Dawson that got him first place. And why McAdoo can't figure that out or practice a 2-minute offense like they used to do in the 70s is beyond me. Sorry, guys, I'm not with you. I think McAdoo's got to go, and I think we got to start practicing that 2-minute offense once again.
Thanks for the call, Ted. Appreciate you listening in Calgary. Let's go to Landon in Kamloops. Go ahead, Landon. You're on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Landon. Go ahead.
Well, I hate to say it, gentlemen, but I think Coach Dickinson needs to be fired along with Fajardo.
You've been drinking, Landon, or what?
now here's my thinking towards this. They had their time to win, and they couldn't do it, so I sailed the door. I think Brian Bennett should start next season, and I've heard through the grapevine that Kent Austin might be coming back to coach.
Yeah, Landon, you're a funny man, Landon. You're a very funny man. You're a very
good stuff. Good stuff. I like that.
You're very funny.
Yeah, and Landon, you almost set Ballsy off. His head almost exploded, and I knew you were playing around.
Yeah.
That was good, actually.
That's pretty good. Landon, in all seriousness, what did you think of the game?
Okay, you know what I thought of the game was it was incredible. The guys showed some real grit tonight, and it was too bad the outcome that we had. Right at the end there when we caught the ball, and I thought it was going to be an interception, I'm thinking this is the football gods giving us another chance here. But
I thought that too. I did too. Yeah, I thought this is our epic game that we need in this new stadium, and just didn't turn out that way.
In regards to the CFL 2.0 thing, I think it's kind of ridiculous, to be honest with you. I don't think we should be – I'm in agreement with you guys. We should be focusing on Canadian players and Canadian talent instead of trying to, bring in folks from different places. And so I'd agree with you guys on that.
Yeah.
And the CFL just needs to do a better job when it comes to marketing. If you want to improve the ratings and you want to try and generate a younger audience that's going to follow the league, We have to tackle the marketing of the league. I think that's where we could do some improvement.
We need to engage a lot of young people. How old are you, Landon?
24.
Yeah, we need to engage people like you.
Can you watch the CFL on Twitter and all that stuff? I don't understand. That's what we need to do.
We need to. Why do you like the CFL, Landon?
I like to see if, well, the honest reason is because it's been in the family, right? Your parents are into it, and I was born in Regina, so.
Yeah,
It's just part of being a.
But what's going to turn the young guy into it? Because most young people,
or girl,
18 or girl, 18 to 25, they're into the NFL. They're into fantasy football. They're into the NFL. Fantasy in the CFL, I think, is stupid because there's only nine teams. I really
you
do.
You know what I think has to stop? This is what has to stop, is this whole, the CFL is just a, what's it called?
Like an inferior league.
A draft league for the NFL. And, you know, it's secondhand talent that's playing there. It's like, you know, back in the 80s, guys that were playing in the CFL were getting paid more than NFL players.
We used to get one. So, you're 24, so you wouldn't know. We used to get one game a week on TV. McCullough wouldn't even know this. You used to get one game a week on TV for the NFL, so you only got one game a week. You never had all the exposure, which we're not going back the other way now. But right. We had 60,000 people at BC Place. Exhibition Stadium, they had 55,000.
Like, yeah, see?
But we need to find a way to engage these young people. We need to do more of a deep dive into what they like, what they want, what makes them tick. Maybe, like, I was talking to a buddy today, maybe get, like, a couple university guys on an honorary, university football players on an honorary board, pick their brain, because a lot of these young kids, they don't give a crap about the CFL. They'd rather watch the NFL. They have to spend thousands of dollars to go to an NFL game. They'd rather watch it on TV than to come down and watch the Mike McCulloughs and whoever of the world play good CFL football, which boggles my mind. Yeah,
I think it's absolutely crazy. Yeah, it's the CFL is exciting. I mean, what did we just watch tonight? That's an exciting football game.
It's a way better game. It's a way better game. You look at it. What Winnipeg? When we got stopped on the goal line there with 2:14 to go in the NFL, the game's over.
Oh, it's done.
If you got no timeouts.
Oh, yeah.
The game's over.
Yeah.
They're kneeling down three times. The game's over. We still got the ball back, ran it back, and still had another six plays.
I think it was 42 seconds. Or
yeah,
something.
Six
crazy.
Plays and yeah. 42 seconds to almost win the game. You're telling me that that's not exciting and we can't market that somehow? Like, that is unreal.
Whenever I'm watching the game on TV, I always love Glenn Suter when he comes on. He goes, "Now, we've seen this plenty of times. There's lots of time left, and, you know, things could change." I'm just like, "Hell yeah, Suter, talk it up." That's what happens.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Hey, Landon, thanks for the call. We appreciate the good jokes at the start, too, because I almost
oh,
did.
Oh, my God, Ballsy. His headset almost caught fire.
I almost did lose my mind. Oh, I was going to say that was the single dumbest call in the history of the sports cage. But
I knew he was playing around with Ballsy. Yeah. Ballsy's a little quick to get hot.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for the call, Landon.
Glad I could give you guys a laugh.
take care, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's go to David driving back to Saskatoon on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Go ahead, David.
Hello. First of all, I want to thank you guys. All season long, you've been taking us home to Saskatoon, and we sure as heck appreciated it when, you know, you get into Saskatoon at 1:45, and you guys have had a super long day.
Yeah.
And I want to appreciate the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They have given us a superb season, not the ending we wanted, but a superb season. There's going to be some tinkering. There always is some changes, but I think we basically have a franchise quarterback. I think we have the criticism of McAdoo. I was a little critical of him early on, but he has come on strong. He's got to learn to. I think there's a lot of future here. I think the biggest challenge is with the CFL management. They can't seem to get a whole heck of a lot right. Sometimes, you know, you're looking and saying, you know, do we really have to spend that much time waiting on Toronto? Like, if you can't make a decision in you know, 30 seconds, 90 seconds, the call the field stands.
Yeah.
Why do we have, you know, we've got the extra breaks, practicing without pads. Why don't we, this, you know, it is not meant. You know, I know, yeah, I'm Saskatchewan tough, too. I was born and raised here. But, no, it's not meant to play football when the darn football is frozen. Today we were really, really fortunate. We had beautiful weather, perfect football weather. But this does not happen 9 out of 10 times. And move that season back so we're not competing with the NFL as much. Do what you need to do. Do a little better job of marketing. I'm really looking forward to having a team down, you know, in the Maritimes. I think they're going to be the Riders of the East.
I don't think that's going to ever happen. I don't think that's.
I think it eventually will happen. I just don't know when. No. It has to happen. It makes
perfect sense, but it won't happen. It's never going to happen.
I don't know why it wouldn't though.
Because of money. It's not going to happen.
There's money out there. Halifax is over 600,000 people. They're almost the same size as this entire province. How can they not?
I will take you for your favorite burger at your favorite burger joint on the very night they play their first game.
Do you have to come with me, or can I just
No, you can take your wife. I'll buy you and your wife burger. Sure.
Well, we'll both be dead. I think it's coming. I just don't think it's coming for a while.
That's not going to happen. It better come soon or just let it go, because I'm sick of seeing the schooner room every year and never having a team.
I feel bad for them.
Anyway, yeah.
I do.
I know. They've been there every year. They never get a team. Anyway, David, anything else quickly?
Yes, I've got a quick question. I think our future is rosy. I'm down tonight, but the future is rosy. I got a question because I absolutely agree with you. I love the CFL compared to the NFL. In history, I mean, our club here in Saskatchewan is like shortly after my ancestors got here. What is the history of the game with the NFL? Because the NFL, it was not such a great league and great game, you know, half a century ago. Whereas the CFL was, as a little kid, I remember watching the Grey Cup and the parade and what have you. What is, which teams started first, and what was American football like? What was Canadian football like way back when in the early, and that's for some other show next year, but
yeah. That's
a question I'd like to have answered. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you guys next year. Listening to you guys next year.
All right, David, thanks for the call, man. Safe trip back to Saskatoon. Yeah, we could do a whole show on that. I mean, they got more money. Marketing is just
people.
You know,
they're national sport.
A 6-3 game between Cleveland and Detroit is exciting because you got fantasy football and there's betting and all that stuff and people are into it, right? Like, if you fantasy footballer, I bet my pools ticket, I wouldn't sit down to watch Cleveland and Detroit, but if that's the game that's going to give me the money, I'm going to watch it, right? You hear, like, and there's 60,000 people there. If you're watching a 6-3 BC Lion Toronto Argonaut game where half the stadium's tarped out,
you can still do it. I know there's, I don't think I have it here, but the Pearl and Ontario, you can bet on every game, like who's going to have more rushing yards.
No, you can do that here too.
Is Fajardo going to throw for over 200? Yeah. Is there going to be more or less than three total interceptions?
It's marketing and it's jazzing.
You can do that, though.
But it goes back to this. If you give a crap about it, other people will give a crap about it.
Yeah.
That's why we have to start caring about our own kids. I had the commissioner here. I said, why don't you guys do the draft in the casino? Just paper it up. Have the first round. I know there's only 9 teams, but instead of doing it with the commissioner standing at a podium on CFL.ca, let's actually broadcast it on one of the 5 TSN channels instead of darts. Have the commissioner there at the casino. Paper the place. Make people put on Tiger Cat, Stampede, or whatever jerseys. Make it look like it's full and have a party. Give people a couple of drink tickets and make it an event. And then a Mike McCullough's getting drafted. Why don't we do a background story on him? Or let's do a background story on this guy and that guy. Now, the commissioner did say some of our draft picks are so good they're in Canadian or university in the States, and they might get drafted in the NFL, so they wouldn't be there at the podium.
Yeah, for sure.
Runs the risk. But, I mean, you got to make it a big deal. Put the Vanier Cup, put the other games with it, and make it a big deal. Because then people will start caring. Oh, gee, I remember that. I remember that Spencer Moore. He played in the 2011 Vanier Cup. But now they come here and people don't know where they're from because we don't have any affiliation with them until they get to the league. Let's go to a Stefan in Regina. Go ahead, Stefan. You're on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Hi there.
Hi.
How you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good, good. First of all, I just tuned in, so if I say anything that's been said, I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to talk about the game because we all know what happened. It's in the past. My points are, I think our team next year, if we keep certain personnel on defense and offense, is going to be unstoppable. And as far as Dickey, I think the only criticism I can find of him is that he overthinks things. He's a great coach. The fans love him. The players love him. And he's great for the community. And I think, like I said, next year it's going to be crazy. As far as your previous caller, I actually Googled how the NFL and the CFL started, like to see which was first. And back in the day, the Canadian football program was similar to what it is now. The American football program was more like rugby, and I think some of their teams had up to like 25 guys And so they kind of got together. They each had a game. They had two games, one playing the American rules and one playing the Canadian rules. Playing the American rules, they beat us pretty handily, but playing the Canadian rules, I think the game was tied 3-3. So that's kind of a rough history of the...
Yeah, and our league's been around longer. We're in our 107th.
Well, we were rugby. Rugby too for the first couple of decades.
Exactly.
This is our 107th Grey Cup. They're in Super Bowl, whatever. It's only their 100th season right now.
But they were like an American rugby kind of team that predated the Super Bowl, in air quotes.
Yeah.
By quite a few decades.
All right, Stefan. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you listening. Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back with Bob, Travis, and you as we're heading down the home stretch here of our season here with Rough Rider football. This is the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable brought to you by Special Blend by Weiser's on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Welcome back here to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable brought to you by Special Blend by Weiser's. Riders lose to Winnipeg 20-13. So the Bombers off to the 107th Grey Cup against the Hamilton Tiger Cats, who dispatched the Edmonton Eskimos 35-16. Do you give quickly Winnipeg much of a chance in that Grey Cup?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. They're feeling pretty good. They're confident.
Tell you what, though, Steinauer with that Dane Evans at quarterback. when Masoli went down, we thought their season was done. But
Is he a true rookie, Dane Evans?
Yeah.
Is he? Because he's not up for rookie of the year, I don't think. Is he? So he can't be a true rookie. Because I'm pretty sure he's not up for rookie of the year. I'll tell you what, though.
I don't know.
But regardless, he's never played it down, but I think he must have been around for a couple of years then, or at least... His second season, because if he's not up for the rookie of the year, it's a shame.
25 years old from Oklahoma. I'm just looking at his bio here. Just give me a second.
I'll fill some air. I'll just talk about myself.
Yeah, just keep talking. Oh, no, he's with the Tiger Cats since 2017.
Okay.
He did play a little bit. He did a few snaps. Yeah. I'll tell you what, that guy has been a revelation for sure.
I don't know. Yeah, it's incredible.
Much like our quarterback.
Yeah, this is like kind of the year of the new quarterback. Yeah. This is kind of like the next phase of quarterbacks have kind of moved in the league now that the Ray's gone and Roddy's getting long in the tooth.
And I asked Ambrosi about the quarterback thing. You don't have to, you could dress three quarterbacks,
okay.
But you can dress as minimum if it's two, but you don't have to dress three.
Okay, so do you dress in but you have to dress a global player?
I didn't get into the second.
Oh, then I would dress three. Another global? Keith Smith is a quarterback, but at least we'll have a guy from Mexico who's never played. That makes no sense. Yeah. Why wouldn't you dress three?
No, I know.
Now, if you could dress any Canadian or American.
I don't know how that works. I don't think they even have that figured out yet. But
that makes a little more sense, I guess. Gives you some flexibility, but I don't know why any team would want to do that.
No, I don't either. Let's go to Bob in Regina. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the Great Plains Realty Hotline.
Hey there.
Hey, Bob.
I kind of enjoyed the game. I didn't enjoy the outcome, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm going to join some of the other people that said that McAdoo has to go.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk about the two plays inside the five in the last minute of the game when we threw the ball when we should have been running.
Mm-hmm.
How about on the 27-yard line when it's third and not of a yard, third and inches? And we run the ball. Like, that's a free play. Throw it into the end zone.
You mean second and inches?
Second and inches, yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's almost like a free play.
But I think on that one, though, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, Cody tried to go, Cody pumped to go deep, and then he had to dump it out into the flats to Naaman Roosevelt. So I think he did try to go to the end zone, and then he pulled it down and dumped it out in the flats for Naaman Roosevelt, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a run play.
I thought he pulled it down because he went to pump it. He went to pump it. Then he stepped out, slid to his left, and threw it out. To Naaman Roosevelt. There was another play where he was scrambling too, if you remember, in the dying seconds, and he dumped it out to the side to Powell.
Powell ran out of bounds too.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like LaPolice when he. They were second and short.
Yeah.
So he puts Screvler in, and they've been talking all week that Screvler can't throw the ball. He's a runner. So they put Screvler in. He backs up and he throws the ball
and misses the guy.
What's that?
And misses the guy.
Well, he did miss the guy. It obviously didn't turn out. But
yeah, I know what you're saying though. He took a shot.
At least there's some imagination there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, though, you got, come on, Bob, you got to give McAdoo a passing grade this year. He's got a guy who all we knew Fajardo from, when you saw, be honest, Bob, Cody Fajardo's first game when he comes in to replace Zach Collaros, he looked like a deer caught in headlights. Isaac Harker looked way better than him. I thought for sure our season was up in smoke. And then the guy's the MOP of the West and maybe the league. He probably won't win it next to Banks, but the guy's the MOP. He's chucking for 300 and some yards here in the West Final. I mean, come on, I know we have a hate on for Stephen McAdoo, but come on. The guy gets a passing grade. He gets at least an 80.
Oh, no. No, no. It would be, if he gets a passing grade, it would be like a 60.
Technically, you're right, by passing grade would be roughly a 60 because an 80 is like an A. That's what I'm saying.
Would you not give him an A?
I think he was fine. I mean, yeah, I got really no issues with it because, I mean, like you said, you got Fajardo. The offense was clicking. We had a 1,000-yard rusher. We had almost 3,000.
Okay,
I don't know. It's just, yeah,
I'm gonna be the devil's advocate.
We have some very good talent, some very good weapons. It doesn't matter how good your weapons are if you don't have the guy back there who's manipulating them.
Bob, let's look at this, okay? You've been a Ryder fan a long time, right?
That's correct.
3 years ago, 2017, the Riders had 3 1,000-yard receivers and were 5 yards away from going to the Grey Cup. They lost in the East Final to Cody Fajardo and the Argos. Who was the offensive coordinator then?
Wow.
Stephen McAdoo. Last year, with no quarterbacking, 2018 team, our quarterback is hurt. We got Brandon Bridge. We got a coach that cuts three veteran receivers, Rob Begg, Bakari Grant, Chad Owens, and makes the other guy defensive back. And he's preaching defense, and our offensive coordinator can't really do anything because he's got nothing to work with, and that's the mentality. And now this year he's back to being allowed to do what he's supposed to do, and he takes a career third down specialist and makes him the MOP.
Well, maybe.
Why are we firing this guy? Help me out.
Maybe he is in a bit of a rut there because I think hiring Jones a couple of years ago was a huge mistake. And as it turns out, I think it was because he gutted the team. He signed a contract, and a week later he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Jones did leave us with some pretty good players here, though. We can't just slough off what Chris Jones did. He did a pretty good job here with the guys that he brought in. But I mean,
He brought in some pretty good guys, but he let some pretty good guys go also.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Hey, Bob, I want you to do me a favor. I'd like you to say Kyron Moore for me.
Kyron Moore.
Yeah, and say Charleston Hughes.
Charleston Hughes, yeah.
Congratulations. Well, you've won our special blend by Weiser's Players of the Game as picked by
and
Derek.
Bob, Coach McAdoo is going to deliver to you personally.
Yeah, he might deliver to you.
We just want to send us your address.
That's right, Bob. Hang on the phone there, Bob. I'm not discounting. Hey, you got every right to be. You got every right to be pissed off about the play calling down in the red zone because I'm mad too. I'm mad at McAdoo for that or whoever made those calls. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to fire the guy. He had a pretty good year. I had a really good year. Anyways, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Hang on the phone, okay, Bob?
Will do. Thank you.
Let's go to Travis in Winnipeg. Go ahead, Travis.
Hey, fellas. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Travis.
Okay, yeah. I was about to say the same thing, but I'm a pilot for WestJet, and I normally book these off so I can go to the game, and I forgot to book it off, so I got stuck in Winnipeg tonight. Yeah, I had to go to Boston Pizza. I was going to sit in my hotel room and watch the game, and I didn't want to, you know, be there, you know, in Winnipeg with a bunch of other people, but I sucked it up, and I went to a Boston Pizza and watched the game, and I'm so proud of this team, I tell you. Craig Dickinson and Cody Fajardo, I tell you, what a great team. I'm just so proud of them.
Yeah, we got a good future. There's no doubt about it. It starts with a quarterback. If you got a quarterback like that, and you got a, I mean, you played for Dickie. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I like Dickie a lot.
He's a good guy. And these guys played hard for him.
And
he turned out, he wasn't their first choice as a head coach, but he was the right hire.
He was the best choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It worked out well. A lot of things kind of worked out well for us that in the past probably wouldn't have.
Travis, did you think this team would be in first place when this season started?
Yes.
When they signed Fajardo, I thought, what the hell are they doing? And then when Collaros got hurt, I thought, that's the season. And I can't believe how good we did. But I want to say something else. My brother's listening in. He's from Siemens. He's driving home, and I'm very proud of him. There's a lot of farmers out there that got half their crop out. My brother, Dwayne Linford, took his time out to drive into the game. He's one of many, and yeah. He's driving home with his wife just beat cancer, and he's with my wife, or with his wife, and my goddaughter, Yaya. Kiara's in the car, too, and they're listening in, and I'm so proud of them. And there's a lot of farmers struggling, and
yeah.
We've got a great team. It's such a great, great citizens in Saskatchewan. Just very proud of everybody, and proud of this team as well.
Awesome, man. Sorry you got stuck in Winnipeg, but there's penicillin for that, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.
Yeah. My bigger concern is, why is WestJet hiring teenagers to be pilots? Travis sounds like he's been 15.
He does sound
like he's I'm a pilot. I'm like, okay, note to self. Yeah, maybe don't fly WestJet for a while.
Yeah, has he hit puberty?
It's crazy.
It's awesome, though. It's a great story. Okay,
love WestJet.
We'll be back with more of the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Winnipeg beats Saskatchewan 20-13 to win the West, and the Hamilton Tiger Cats beat Edmonton 35-16 to win the East. It's Ballsy and McCullough on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable, brought to you by Special Blend by Weiser's, proud partners of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Saskatchewan's number one Canadian whiskey. Please enjoy their product responsibly. And our hotline brought to you by Great Plains Realty. Buying or selling farmland and other properties, call Mike or Shelley, Jen Austin at 306-481-5574. I don't have my phone on me. Well, I haven't, but I'm going to try to do this off the top of my head.
Oh,
do you remember the last time Winnipeg and Hamilton met in a Grey Cup?
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think about that. Winnipeg played BC. Winnipeg played BC last in the Grey Cup of 2011. 2007, you guys played Winnipeg in the Grey Cup.
And in 1990, they didn't play between 90 and 07 in the Grey Cup,
played
did
19,
they?
Well, they haven't won since 1990.
No, I know. Have they even played in one?
Yeah, 92, they lost to Calgary.
Because Hamilton won in 99.
In 93, Winnipeg lost to Edmonton in Calgary.
In 99, Hamilton won.
They beat Calgary.
They beat Calgary.
And they lost Calgary. No, the last time I believe the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Hamilton Tiger Cats played a Grey Cup was 1984.
You remember that?
That would have been in Commonwealth Stadium. Tom Clements, the quarterback of the Bombers, Dieter Brock, and the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
I was a child, so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I can't remember another time. 90. No, off top man, I can't.
Okay, well, that's impressive.
Bob, if the Hamilton Tiger Cats of Winnipeg played in a Grey Cup besides 1984, figure that out for me.
Come on, Bob.
Come on, Bob. Let's go to Trevor.
Go, Bob.
Trevor driving back to Sherwood Park. Go ahead, Trevor.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Trevor. What's up, man? You're driving back. You're driving back tonight?
I got to work at 8 in the morning, man. I came last
Holy
night.
Holy hell.
Both of my kids have the stomach flu, and I'm here for the game. I'm a diehard Rider fan.
Are you still married, Trevor? Or you won't be after this drive, I guess?
No, you know what? My wife is awesome. I hate the Eskimos. I live in Edmonton.
Oh,
so
my
half
God.
Half of the battle today was that Edmonton lost.
You left your wife with two kids with the flu?
No, my wife is fine.
No, but your kids have the flu
your
with
kids
your
have
wife.
The flu and your wife is watching them?
No. My one kid was better before I left last night, and then when I got to Regina, my other kid got the flu.
Oh,
but anyway.
Okay.
So are you by yourself?
I went with my brother. We're from Regina.
Okay.
Oh, and you're both driving back right now?
Isn't Sherwood Park home of Chuba Hubbard of Oklahoma State?
You know what? So. I live across the street from his high school.
I was going to say,
that's awesome. Okay, anyways, Trevor, what do you think of this game?
Hey, you know what? I was at the game. You know, one of the criticisms I have is I do agree with a couple of your callers of a lack of preparation in terms of the head coach with the communication stuff. I was watching intently during the game. O'Shea is talking to the refs all the time in their ear. He's on his hand, you know, he's on his tiptoes, just going, you know, nothing's getting by him. And Dickinson stands there kind of with his mouth open. It seems like the game's too fast for him when the times get tense. And that could be lack of experience. But I really have had that feeling since even the preseason. And today it bit us in the ass finally in a big way.
But here's my thing, though. I don't understand, like, I'm not trying, I get what you're saying, Trevor, and yeah. Kudos to you for driving back and forth. Like, your comments stand, like, they're, I respect them. This guy won 13 games.
Wait.
He won 13 games. as a head coach. He is the coach of the year nominee. I don't think the game moves too fast for him. I do think he needs some help with clock management. That seems to be a problem with him. But once again, he is in his first year coaching.
You know what? I got nothing against Dickinson. It's just like him throwing the challenges this year. It always seems he was a couple seconds behind of getting it. What I'm saying is maybe he needs some mentorship in that role to have a sideline person kind of, in his ear a little bit more and focus on that aspect next year. And I also feel the same way sometimes with the DBs. Our DBs are solid, but they spent, their lack of focus sometimes when they are doing other things, and their communication, I think, hurts them on the big play, and mm-hmm. they get caught up that way. Like, that didn't cost them the game today. We didn't execute when we needed to in the game, and you know what? You got to give Winnipeg credit. You know, it hurts to lose. It hurts us all to lose, but you got to say sometimes, I just hope we don't take that step back next year. And, we set a good precedent this year, but it almost seems like that Cinderella kind of step, and it worries me that, the mediocrity might come back next year.
I think that's your long-suffering anxiety, man.
You know what? And part of it, too, is it's when you live in Edmonton, you're reminded all the time of all their championships and stuff, too, and you just want to stick it to them as much as you can. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. We got a good young quarterback who showed today that he is a tough SOB. He is built in the model of a Darian Durant that Mike played with. He's got championship pedigree. Yeah. He is the face of this franchise. He is a great guy on and off the field. We got a great guy as the head coach, a good guy as a GM. Like, we're in good hands. I think we got some great building blocks here.
I agree. And you know what, Fajardo, I was always kind of that question mark the whole year long, but I was at the game of Commonwealth. He made me a believer when he drove us down from, 6-yard line for that game-winning field goal. It was like, this guy's got composure like it's going out of style. You can't buy that.
I think the most shocking thing is we didn't win this game because he's done it all season. And he had us in position to do it again.
Yeah.
He had it.
Yeah.
Whether that guy should have picked it off sales and the guy still caught it.
We're goalpost away from buying that second
round. You kind of waited all season for that moment of, he's not going to do it. The moment's too big for him. I just think today we just kind of were snake bitten the whole day, too. You kind of had you could almost feel like there was a force field out there once we hit the 25-yard line.
Trevor, I just want, and I'll let you listen. We're going to hang up on you respectfully. We'll let you drive, continue your drive, and safe travels, okay? And we'll address this because I want to bring this up to Mike. Mike, I don't think people really appreciate what he did out there today. He threw for over 300 yards.
Yeah.
He took a couple of big shots, especially that one when he was scrambling. And he had two torn oblique muscles. That's almost the equivalent of breaking your ribs. It hurts to breathe.
I don't think we have obliques, you and I.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I think people don't understand what an effort that was to even do what he did today.
I think people maybe haven't played the game.
You do. That's why I'm asking
week,
you.
All week I was thinking, like, damn. Like, you see him practice throwing 8-yard passes, and he's waving Shaq Evans back to 2 more yards, and he's doing that 15 times. Like, I didn't think it was hurt that bad, like, leading up to the last game of the season. And you hear all the talk and see him practice, like, geez, it's pretty bad.
Like, he might not get out of bed for a week.
He might not. And, you know, if he's smart, he should just settle here. You should live here in the off season.
Oh, he'll make money. Oh. Like, it's like he'll make more in the
he'll
off season
bank.
Than he will. Yeah,
he will make bank.
Yeah, he could do on every banquet circuit that we go on all the time.
Oh man,
they'll be like McCullen Ball. Who? Like,
and
he's like Fajardo.
We'll drive him. We'll get paid just to drive him places.
Yeah, the guy is like,
he's gonna own this province. He could own this province the next 10 years.
Yeah,
and you know what? It's okay because he's to me, like I said, I don't know him. He seems like a great dude.
Yeah.
And he's the type of guy that if my kid came to me and said, I want to put a Fajardo poster on my wall, I'd be like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
No problem. If you want to look up to him, I got no problem.
It's kind of like, I liken him to Corner Gas. You don't mind your family watching Corner, your kids, because you know that's not going to be any off-color humor.
Yeah.
There's going to be no nudity.
Yeah.
It's going to be funny. It's okay. Like, it's
yeah. You know? I don't want my children, like, you know, idolizing sports heroes like
a Tariq Hill
outside of the boundaries of the field. But like this guy, I'm like, the sprinkles of Jesus, like the aw shucks and you know what? Yeah, he seems like the real deal. He's a good guy, a good football player. If I was 10, 15 years younger, I would
love to play for him.
Love to play
for
him.
And play for that coach.
Yeah, and play for that coach. And as a father, I'm like, you know what? If he's your guy and you look up to him, I got no problem.
He's everything that's right about football.
Yeah, so hopefully hopefully he's here for a good 10 more years. And
we're in good hands, man.
Oh,
this,
yeah, totally.
To me, I know this once again. Like, it's so hard to get to this point, and you know it's hard to get to this point.
Yeah, it's
but
very
I'm gonna
hard.
But I'm going to tell you something. This was a gravy season. Gravy season. And before you win, you got to learn how to lose.
Yep.
So, you know, this was his first ever playoff start. And now you know how to maybe do it the next time when it's when we're hosting. Because a guy like you is to blame. Now that we're hosting the Grey Cup, they think we should win it.
Yeah.
And we should be in it.
And now, and next year, you know what? If he has a bad spell, like, just you gotta ride with it, because he's our quarterback. He is our franchise quarterback. And if he starts a season and throws three picks in two games and we're 0-2, don't panic.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't panic.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, just relax.
Let's let it go. Yeah,
he's our guy.
Take a quick call from Wally and Regina. Go ahead, Wally. You're on the Great Plains Realty Hotline.
Hi, fellas. I came home and I was fortunate a few games ago to win a Wiser's pack, so I poured a good three fingers, maybe even four fingers, and sat down and contemplated things. And I think when you say that you got to learn how to win sometimes by taking some tough losses, how many teams have won back-to-back Grey Cups in the last, well, not many. Now, if we'd won this year, we screw up next year. So the only bright side I can take is after another few fingers, I'm going to go to bed, be happy about the season as we found some good players. Hopefully we keep a core together and, go for next year. We can pull off there. And the final thing I wanted to say before you guys let me go is really enjoy talking to you, and sometimes you even make sense, but you're entertaining, and football in Saskatchewan wouldn't be the same if we didn't have you guys, too.
Thanks, Wally. Appreciate that, man. And somebody's been in the wiser.
And, Wally, thanks for bringing up the last team that went back-to-back. That'd be the Alouettes in 09 and 10 against us. So thanks, Wally.
Thanks,
appreciate
Wally.
You.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Thanks, Wally. And actually, Hamilton, Winnipeg, last time they met in the Grey Cup was 1984.
Look at that, Ballsy. Yeah. You pulled that out without your phone.
47-17 was the score in that game for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Murphy, our friend Cal Murphy, was the head coach of Winnipeg.
That's what you remember.
And Al Bruno was the head coach of Hamilton. Yeah, and it was very cold. Like, really cold. In that game, Commonwealth Stadium. Okay, we'll take a break and be back with more here on the Rough Riders Radio Network. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers trying to end the longest playoff drought or Grey Cup drought here. In recent times, I know the Argos had a longer one of 32 years, but the Bombers haven't won in 29 years. And let's face it, it'll get to 30 because they're not going to win next Sunday. I pick Hamilton to beat Winnipeg, even though I'm kind of cheering for Zach Collaros. Our play of the game, and for it, a very interesting play where you remember this happened to John Ryan back in the NFL when he was playing for the Seahawks. He kicked it to the Rams. They faked out the Seahawks cover team and ran back a punt return for a touchdown. Riders almost did it here with Nick Marshall. Yeah, so Nick Marshall, how does that happen?
I'm guessing John Ryan probably had that, and talking to Dick Yale a year, and then as soon as, what's his name? Medlock went field earlier in the game, and I think that gave Dick the signal to say, okay, they went field once, we can pull this off.
But how does that happen with the return? Like, how don't you know what the punter's punt?
Because you're taught as the punt cover guy to follow your block and look at the returner. That's your job. You don't, like, you're told we're going to kick boundary here, but at least 3 to 5 times a year, your punter will kick it off, and you'll hear like left, or field, and sometimes you don't hear it at all. So you really, all you're looking at is your blocker, and if they set up like they're going to the field side, and you see the returner go to the field side, you go to the field side. It's brilliant. I love it. I love they pull it off. And as it was kicking, I saw it. I'm like, oh my God. And I saw the Rams fight, was it 5 years ago with Jeff Fisher?
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It was a great play, and I didn't notice it because I was too excited, but I think a caller on the called in or something. Or I heard somebody talking about it, but some of the guys in front of him, if they stopped celebrating and block, he would have gotten the end zone.
Yeah.
Because there's like 2 or 3 guys running and celebrating. Meanwhile, someone came from the side and tackled him. But like, block somebody. And he had wide open. He had 20 yards wide and nobody in front of him for the whole field.
That's what they pulled out on John Ryan and the Seahawks.
And I'm sure John Ryan probably was talking to him about that all year long.
I want to ask you this quickly. Ken sends me this. Hey, Riders, the fans are whipped into a frenzy. Fireworks going off. Riders win the toss. Bill Belichick always defers. Would you be in favor of putting your defense on the field and get the fans into it right away as opposed to putting Cody on the field?
I always like deferring as I like coming out the second half, especially if you end the first half of the score, you get a chance to start the second half with possibly scoring. Or if you end...
You have a 2-for-1, yeah.
Yeah, or if you end the first half where, you know, maybe they scored, you need a boost, you can come out with your offense. I always like to defer, but once again, today wasn't a factor. You kind of play the win game more in the CFL. Yeah. And that wasn't a factor today, but a lot of times the teams want to have the win.
I think where Ken's going with this is you don't... Like, I guess they knew their quarterback would be okay, but it's like, okay... You get the defense on Kolaros. The fans are into it. They can get loud right away in full throat, and you kind of take that away from when you're off.
Did we win that toss today?
We won the toss and took the ball.
Did we?
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just to me, it's just a personal choice. Yeah. In the end, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, it really doesn't matter, but I always like to defer.
Moment of the game brought to you by the Rusty Shovel Landscape Shop. Experts in landscape design, supply, and support. Start your project at therustyshovel.ca. We'll get some closing thoughts from Mike McCullough on the other side. Riders lose the West Finals to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 20-13 on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Radio Network. Hi to everybody listening. Thanks for making us part of your game day celebration, including my brother-in-law, Kyle, says he's loving the show. Okay, so let's wrap up. We'll take one more caller here and then get our final thought from Mike McCullough. I think it's Ryan Regina. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, good. I haven't seen you guys in a while. Last time I seen you, Ballsy, you were down in the duck derby.
Oh, that's a long...
You picked up a girl and you took home a duck.
That's a lot.
I don't even know what to say to that. Right
I came
now.
With a girl and went home with a duck. Anyways, what do you got, Ryan?
Well, I was just—I just want to start off the whole night by saying Terry Eifer set up a really good play with that thick pan run back.
Yeah. Well, you mean the Nick Marshall one? Yeah.
No, the specialty team when the kick. Went over to Thigpen and he ran it back.
Well, Thigpen ran one back late in the game, but you're talking about the one where they faked it out and Marshall ran it all the way back? That one?
No, I'm saying late in the game because that
one. Okay, yeah.
You know, he's the specialty teammate there, and he was a pretty good coach doing that, I think.
Yeah.
Right. And then I just want to go back to that other guy that just said that, you know, how do you get the kids back into it? Well, I remember days when I was young, they used to let the kids run onto the field. And, you know, why not? Run around. You get a chin strap? Oh, man, I had Jack Abbott's chin strap for, oh, man, that just made me want to go and do more. You know, you got to let the kids do what they got to do, you know, like you just can't X off the game. I know the guys are really tired after the game, but, you know, you got to let anybody under 3 feet run onto the field.
Yeah. Well, today you couldn't. They're having their celebration. The West finally. You couldn't let the kids run wild while the Bombers are trying to celebrate. But I know what you're saying. A little more in interaction. Thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Hey, okay. hey, don't lay me off, man.
What's up? What else you got?
I got everything, man.
Okay. Okay, right. You go to your den and write all those questions down. Yeah, and we'll talk in June.
It took me 3 hours to get onto this thing.
Well, give me one more point, then we got to go. What's up?
Okay, real gem. Ask me something.
I don't need to ask anything. Sorry, Ryan. I got to go. Thanks. I appreciate the call, Ryan. Like, I'm not.
We lost. Maybe if we won, we'd be more into the games. But
what do you want me to ask you, Ryan? Like, I don't know, man.
Good old Ryan. It's a good way to end the year.
Yeah.
Our season was kind of like Ryan. It's just really meant well, but it just, in the end, didn't really do much.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's kind
of
like that.
That's it. Like that. We're the season of Ryan.
ask me something. Okay, so what do you got in the Grey Cup? Are you going to watch the game?
Yeah, I'll watch the game.
And 107. Who do you got in it?
I think I'm cheering for Winnipeg, but probably Hamilton's going to win.
Yeah, I think Hamilton will win.
But really, in the end, who cares?
I really don't care. Like Ryan.
What I mean?
Like Ryan.
I know. I'm going to watch it, but I don't really care.
Yeah, ask me something.
Yeah, ask me something.
Thanks for another great season.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll see. Unless
Ryan wants to come.
Yeah, unless Ryan wants to come.
He's got a list of questions.
That'd be amazing.
Appreciate
an hour and a half of Ryan just asking everybody questions.
We'll be back to wrap up in a moment on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Rider season comes to an end, one game short of the Grey Cup, losing to Winnipeg today before a sold-out joint at Mosaic Stadium, 20-13. So Bombers play the Hamilton Tiger Cats in Grey Cup 107. We'll have the pregame show. Myself and I think Waldo and McCullough will be joining me next week. We'll do it 3 hours before the kickoff, so we'll have a two-hour pregame show, kind of set up the game and wrap up this Rough Rider season, and maybe take some of your calls too that day. I'd like to thank my operators, Nevin Chamney on the pregame show, and Mike Sweeney, who's with us for the last time here before moving on to other endeavors. So thanks to Mike Sweeney for his work all season long. Thanks to Bob Salisbury and Ryan Mishorek, our engineers on site. Want to thank Sean Kleisker for operating in the visiting booth today with CJOB, Mark Harrison in the home booth. Want to thank John Hoffman for doing the stats. I want to thank Drew Dalby for his work on the visitor sidelines. Want to thank Luke and Derek for their work all season in the play-by-play booth. Also want to thank our program director, Abby White. Want to thank, who else do I want to thank? All the producers across the Rough Rider Radio Network, and that network is comprised of GX94 Yorkton, also 96.3 Cruise FM Saskatoon, 102.3 FM CJNS in Meadow Lake, 1050 CJNB North Battleford, 900 CKBI Today's Country in Prince Albert, 750 The Beach in Melfort, and your flagship station for Saskatchewan Rough Riders football, as it's been for many years and many more years to come, 620 CKRM. I want to thank Mike McCullough and Paul Walder for their work as well. Once again, our final score from Mosaic Stadium, the Western Finals in the books. It's the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 20, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders 13, Grey Cup 107, Winnipeg and Hamilton in Calgary next week. For everybody involved, I'm Michael Ball saying so long, and we'll talk to you next week for Grey Cup 107.